You're listening to Ask a Black Doctor, Friday Facts About COVID-19 featuring Dr. Bukasi Dubé. Join us every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. for a half an hour as we discuss issues surrounding the current pandemic, vaccines and distribution, dispel myths, provide facts, and address concerns. We'll also be providing updates about COVID-19 vaccines and discuss how we can build a better culture around Black health. Episodes will be available wherever you listen to podcasts, so head on over to thenumbers.fm for the link to the show. Now let's jump into it. I want to thank you all for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor. This is DJ Ambush here with Dr. Bukasi Dubé. How are you, sir?
Man, I am doing well. It's good to be back in Portland. And, You know, it's good to be here on Wednesday doing our thing.
Of course.
I'm excited.
So you say good to be back. I've been doing a little bit of traveling. You've been doing some traveling as well.
Yep. Been all over the East Coast.
Yeah. And back safe and sound.
Yep. Safe and sound.
The power of vaccination.
No symptoms, no COVID. I'm glad I was vaccinated. Glad to see that people are following the recommendations, and people are doing, you know, people are now making the choice to wear masks and in public spaces. And it was good to see that wherever we went, we saw a lot of people wearing masks, making the decision to voluntarily wear masks. But hey, how are you doing? How's life?
I'm good. I was going to ask you another question about that. In your travels, do you still see people being cautious of social distancing? Like, do you still see some of that? Like, people are less, even though they're wearing masks, they're less inclined to be up on top of each other.
You know, that was true, especially we were in the blue states, only blue states. So yes, that was very true. Most people were not congregating in large crowds. People were wearing, surprisingly, most people were wearing N95s and KN95s. Which to me is just, it's impressive to see when people, I'm choosing to do this.
Yeah. I'm hoping that, and this is an unexpected effect of it not being mandated. People feel like they can make their choice.
A lot
more people than I would have expected are still wearing masks, even outside. So
I was at my local grocery store here in town, and I was just so impressed to see the number of folks. I mean, about a little over, I would say more than three quarters of the people who were there were wearing masks.
Right. Yeah. And you would think that everyone was just waiting to get them all off, right?
Nah. It's like, whoa, I am glad to be in this community. I'm glad to see people doing this. And people going about their business as though this is the normal. This is the new normal.
Right.
And interestingly, all the cashiers at that particular store were wearing masks.
I'm going to be a little bit more observant and see if they still have some of the shields up. I was on the Lyft last week.
Yeah.
And, the Lyft driver still had the shield in his vehicle. And there's still the mask requirement in transportation. So, it's good. I love this new normal. I love
I don't have problems with it. I'm like, let's continue doing that.
Exactly. So yeah, I've been good too. No symptoms. I got a little congestion, but that's just, you know, seasonal stuff. But yeah, I did see, which we were mentioning a little bit before we started the call, about the new CDC recommendation for the fourth, or so it would be the second booster, which they start in a particular age group, the older, our older generations, and then they, you know, usually bring it down. So, I mean, the idea, again, you've had our two vaccinations, you've had your booster shot, now we're going to get our fourth booster, and then we just keep doing this. This is just what it is.
This is what it is. I mean, yeah, this is what, fortunately or unfortunately, you know, this is what we have to live with, and this is what we what we have to do to protect ourselves and to protect our communities. Yeah. I heard this thing on where was that? I think it was an NPR. Steve Inskip was saying that, think of it as, if you're 50 and you're in normal health, you can walk to go and get the vaccine, to go and get your second booster shot. If you're older than 50 and you're immunocompromised, you should be running to get your your second booster. And I thought, you know, that's a good analogy. I kind of like that.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh man. So today's topic: learning to live with COVID-19. And I feel like there's a couple of different sides to this, right? Learning to live, knowing that COVID-19 can be a reoccurring situation that we're dealing with, that it exists, we all have knowledge of it, and then also learning to live with the side effects of contracting COVID-19,
something
we've been talking about for a long time, just making people aware of the risks of long COVID, and hey, you can do a lot to make sure you're safe and avoid contracting it, but, you know, there are some situations where people will have some long-term effects from it. So I've heard people talk about COVID-19 being endemic. Does that mean COVID is over? Like, what is endemic?
Ah, that's a very good question, right? So I'll start off by saying COVID is certainly not over. It is definitely not over, right? The term endemic just means that it's limited in the way it spreads and the way it when it's problematic. We typically think of it as when we use the term endemic, we think of it in terms of the flu, right? It's very seasonal. We know that from October to about March, that's the flu season. That's when it causes most problems, at least with the flu. This will be the case with COVID-19. We have not yet reached the endemic stage, but we are at a point where we're at a point where enough people, that's not fair. A lot of people have been vaccinated and a lot of people have gotten immunity from getting infected, which is quite unfortunate, right? Because that also comes with a lot of risk of potentially getting sick, ending up in the hospital and potentially dying. But a lot of people chose not to get vaccinated and they got infected. So with those two things, I think it was the CDC that came out and said about 80 to 85% of the folks in this country have some sort of immunity, especially after the Omicron surge, where we now have either people vaccinated or having obtained immunity from contracting the disease. Yeah.
Mm. So you mentioned just now how, the flu kind of moves, it has its own season. And those patterns, I'm sure there's a bunch of contributing factors that have given us the flu season. How far are we from having a COVID season? What are some of the factors that will create that? And how far are we from that?
Oh, so let me see. Let me get my magic, my crystal ball and see. So that's a very good question, right? It's something that everybody is concerned about and is trying to answer. And the honest truth is, we really don't know how far we are from that. My hope is that we're close to it. Right now, right here in the state of Oregon, our house cap data. That's the data that shows us who's hospitalized, how many people are hospitalized, shows that today we have about 104 people who are currently hospitalized with COVID-19. That's a massive improvement.
Yes.
The last time
we talked, it was 200. For it to be down to 104, that's amazing.
So we're heading in the right direction. I hope that we'll be at a stage where we can say that, we have now reached the endemic stage of the disease. I'm not, my hope is that we are there, or we are getting there sooner rather than later.
Right. But we are obviously trending in the right direction. There's always concern because of what we've experienced over the last 2 years, like another variant's coming. That's just, you know, how that works. But let me ask you this, and this is me applying the knowledge that I've gained from having these conversations with you, coupled with some Instagram, my Instagram doctor that I have. am I to understand that because so many of us are either vaccinated or have immunity from contracting it, that as new variants are introduced, it'll have less of an impact, therefore we'll also have less variants?
That's true up to a certain point.
Okay.
Because our immunity begins to wane after a certain period. We now know that if you're vaccinated, your immunity lasts longer than if you get infected. So if you get infected, your immunity lasts about 3 months, depending on the severity of the illness. If you get the mRNA vaccines, we know that it lasts anywhere from 6 to 9 months. After that, your immunity begins to wane significantly, hence the recommendation for booster shots. So, new variants, at least in this country, there are going to be less of them because a lot of people have been vaccinated and a lot of people have gotten infected. However, that's not where all the variants have come from, right? From the original strain to the alpha strain to Delta and Omicron, they all came from abroad.
Right.
And so I actually saw a very good article, an op-ed this past weekend from the New York Times that was talking about this, that, hey, Sub-Saharan Africa is poorly vaccinated. That's the vaccination rates in Sub-Saharan Africa are very, very low, that they haven't had as much access to testing, that they haven't had, and as a result, they don't know that disease burden. This opinion piece was making an argument that we should be worried, right? Because that's the perfect breeding ground for new variants. So a new variant is probably going to develop there or somewhere else in the world and then end up coming back to bite us.
Right.
Well,
you've also been speaking on that for quite some time too, the way that we need to take more seriously the conditions that some of our neighbors in other nations are dealing with. Same amount of resources, maybe in being able to mitigate the spread. And ultimately what that means for us right here, like our neighbors are two blocks away now. They're not a continent away. The way this works.
Yeah, they're just a plane ride away. And unfortunately, COVID, like Chris Evans likes to say, COVID does not need a passport. It does not respect any borders, right?
Man. So we were talking a little bit earlier. People are still wearing masks. A lot of people are still wearing masks. I think before we were talking about the people that we expect to still wear masks the most would be those who are immunocompromised. And that may have some other underlying conditions that we're unaware of. But now we're still seeing, like, just the majority of people that, you know, they're still wearing masks. It just feels like, I don't know if we've been doing it so long that we've gotten used to it. But definitely the whole vibe of not being quote unquote forced or mandated to wear it has created a sense of freedom around that. How long do you think, in your person, look back into the crystal ball, how long do you think we'll be in this vibe where people are still comfortable wearing masks? Or is this just the new normal now that we'll just continue to wear masks?
I hope that it's the new normal, right? I hope that we can say during the COVID season, like the flu season, we all take our masks and put them on. That will help slow the spread of this virus and other viruses as well, right? We've talked about how the flu deaths over the last 2 years have plummeted significantly because we were wearing masks. The way I think of it is, it's kind of like, I got to use a metaphor that's relatable here in Oregon. when it rains a lot, which is most of the time in Oregon, 9 out of the 12 months it rains a lot, right? We take out our rain jackets, right? We take out our umbrellas and we use them. We don't wear our fancy, you don't see women wearing fancy stilettos when it's muddy and raining out.
Yeah, and speaker heads aren't wearing their best kicks. We're not doing
exactly
that.
Right. Yeah. So and likewise, that'll be the same thing with masks. When we're in the COVID season, kind of like the flu season, we take out our masks and we put them on.
Right.
And that's something that we should be expecting to live with.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged with the behavior that I've been seeing so far. And I'll say this, I'll be the one to say it. You don't have to say it. You don't have to even agree with it. It's to me, this is evidence that the media has been playing a significant part in overrepresenting a population that is really in disagreement with vaccines and with any of the mitigating factors. Like, that population obviously isn't as big as we've been told and has been purported over the last couple of years. A great majority of us, a great deal of us, are totally fine wearing masks. It's not that huge of an issue.
Yeah, you know what? You bring up something very, very important. The nature of human beings, right? The nature of people. Mm-hmm. We have been fed this narrative that we care only about ourselves, that we're only self-interested, which is far from the truth.
Mm.
And we, as human beings, we are pack animals.
Right.
And we care about the entire pack. And as a result, we will do things to show that we care about the entire pack. And that's why we're seeing the vast majority of people are still walking around wearing masks.
Right.
Contrary to what the media would have us believe.
Right. Absolutely. We're just quiet. We're not making a huge deal about still wearing masks. We're just wearing masks.
We just do it.
What does eligibility for children under 5 for the vaccine look like? Where are we on the timeline with that?
Oh, man. This has been killing me because I'm seeing a lot of preschools and a lot of elementary schools that have preschools are having issues, a lot of issues with this because you have the governor saying you don't have to wear a mask at schools, or they're leaving it up to the individual school districts or individual schools. And you have schools saying, oh, where they have a preschool attached to it, they're saying, oh, the preschoolers are not vaccinated. So as a result, they're going to require all the pre-K through 5 folks to wear masks. And other families are saying, oh, but it's not necessary to wear masks anymore. And, you know, it's just back and forth with the little ones who are not yet vaccinated. So it's creating a lot of division within communities. What I will say is that my hope had been that we would have these vaccines ready for the 4-year-old and younger age group. But unfortunately, we're not there yet. So CDC is still reviewing the data that's been submitted. And there's the CDC, there's the FDA, and then there's the Western States Work Group that's also been evaluating the data and making recommendations independent of the CDC. Okay. They haven't gone against each other, but thankfully, indicating that science is science, and regardless of who's looking at it, whether it's in Washington, D.C., Atlanta, or in Oregon or California, we're all looking at the same data and coming up with the same conclusion. So that's reassuring.
Okay.
The timeline has shifted multiple times. So at this point, I'll say that my crystal ball, someone stole my crystal ball, and I can't I can't see what's going on.
If we were to compare the developing vaccine to existing vaccines, would the dosing, the way vaccines are handled now, would dosing be the same for a one-year-old versus a three-year-old or a five-year-old?
So that's what they're currently working on, trying to figure out how exactly to dose it. So what they have done is, I think the dose that they've kind of settled on is the same as that was given to the 5 to 11 year olds. So we'll see how that works out, and we'll see if it's effective.
All right. So going back to our main topic of, you know, living with COVID-19, there have been a lot of effects. There have been a lot of physical effects, medical effects, people have been met with having contracted it. There have been effects of people who have had to live through it. The medical community has been greatly affected by COVID-19 and having to work through it. So COVID fatigue is where I want to go to with this next part of the conversation. What are some of the things, maybe some of the words of encouragement that you could give to some of our listeners that are dealing with COVID fatigue in the many different ways that, you know, we're all experiencing it?
Hey, that's a very important question. We're seeing it everybody, right? Everywhere, worldwide, we've been dealing with this. This is our third year into this pandemic, and it's been exhausting. It's been really exhausting. One, we have to learn to live with this virus, and it's also learning to live with us, right? Because its goal is to its goal is self-preservation. Its goal is to spread to as many individuals as possible, as many beings as possible, while not necessarily killing us. Because if it kills us, then it doesn't have any hosts to go to. So that's one. Two, fourth shots or a second booster is, I mean, that's coming. And we know that it's worked in countries that have done this. Israel is a very good example. We have seen people not end up getting sick, as sick, or end up in the hospital. So we know that, you know, getting people immunized, is very, very effective. So in this country, like the CDC and the FDA have come out and said, hey, if you're 50 and older, you're strongly recommended to get a second booster. And OHA hasn't commented on that yet, but suspect OHA will be coming out sooner rather than later with, hey, we're giving out a second booster, and you should get it if you can. We also know that people who are immunocompromised, right? People with weakened immune systems should get a second shot. A second booster, because their immune systems are not as robust as everybody else's, and so to protect those individuals, we're encouraging those folks who are immunocompromised, weakened immune systems, to get a second booster shot. Or if you live with someone who is immunocompromised, you should consider getting a second booster as well, and of course continue wearing masks and doing all the other COVID protective behaviors.
For anyone that's behind on their vaccines and boosters, so say someone just got vaccinated, now that we're talking about getting a second booster shot, to be clear, when it's time for them to get a booster, they're not getting two. They're just getting the third, what would be their third shot, but their first booster.
Yeah. So it's just if you just got vaccinated and that was your primary series and you're 6 months out, then that's just your first booster, your third shot, and it's the right thing to do.
Right. Yeah. You're not behind. You don't need to catch up and get quadruple vax and triple vax. Like, there's no schedule. We're not counting vaxes. You know, how many shots you've gotten, then you don't have any catch up. Okay, cool. That's good to know. this has been great. This entire experience has been amazing. I know I've learned so much, and it's been really interesting to watch all of society experience this together, for the worse and for the better. I feel like I didn't think I'd be able to say this, but I do feel like we are on the other side of the worst of it. To hear that our hospitalizations are down to 104, that is amazing. I mean,
that is amazing.
I am saddened for everyone that is hospitalized, but that is amazing that we've been able to get it down to that number. It's just really, really encouraging. It really is.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Any of the notes from this conversation, per usual, will be in the description and for this episode. And we will catch you next week.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to Ask a Black Doctor, airing every Friday at 8 a.m. and 2 p.m. right here on The Numbers. If you missed it, you can find the link to the full episodes on our website at thenumbers.fm. You can also subscribe to the podcast on all streaming platforms. Be sure to rate and leave a comment. If you have questions you'd like answered on future episodes, you can submit them through our website or the link in our bio on Instagram and Twitter.